It's Rumination Tuesday on this November the 13th in the year of our Lord 2012. I'm Tom Baker, and I certainly want to give greetings to my State Farm agent who showed up at my house today, and we had some roof damage with the hail, and so they're taking a look at it, and sounds like it's going to be a pretty good deal. Oh, I also say hi to Pastor Mark Smith, who's here. Hi, Mark.
Oh, hi. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing good.
Beautiful day out there, isn't it?
Yeah, you just came in time.
Well, yeah. Well, better late than never, right?
No. Sometimes it's better than never.
Well, that's true.
Not you, but me. Boy, did I have a wonderful worship service in Altamont last week.
Oh, I'll bet it was. Altamont. Let's see. There's
four congregations there. This was St. Paul's.
Well, I know one church there that's old church. It's more than 100 years old. I think it might even go, I don't know if it goes back to Civil War or what, but they've built onto it. And I'm trying to think the pastor's first name. Isn't it Jeff? Have I got the right guy?
No, he was a pastor who went to Indiana about 8 years ago.
Okay.
I know which one you were.
What I'm talking about. Yes. Altamont. I preached there once.
I'd done twice there, but this was one of four congregations, and every pew was filled.
Oh, no kidding. They really show up.
Well, yes. I thought they heard I was coming, but then I found out, no.
They didn't have pitchforks in their
what
hands.
What it was four congregations involved with one school, with which you're familiar with.
Uh-huh.
And they had the kids singing.
So that's what drew them. Yeah.
So the kids finished singing. I was ready to start the sermon. And
who are you,
congregation
right?
Walked out. Okay. So that's the first thing. The other thing we wanted to say is hello to our good friends at, what, CC's?
Oh, CC's, yes. Yes. Yeah, we went to CC's.
Yes.
Give them a little bit of advertisement, right?
Well, not only that, people were glad that they weren't there when we were there because your first plate took half the pizza.
CC's, yes.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. They were advertising on the television, $5 a person.
Uh-huh.
I mean, where do I take my wife out and for $10 we get a whole meal?
Yeah.
So we started calling all our friends and finally got to the end and you were able to make it. Okay.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
No, it was great, wasn't it?
It was. It was a lot of fun.
You were the first we called because we don't have any other friends. Okay. Today is Rumination Tuesday, which means we take a look at emails or anything on people's minds. So if you want a question, numbers of phone are 505-785-7850 or toll-free
1-800-730-2727.
And because I'm losing my voice, you'll do all the talking today.
Okay.
No, that's not true.
I knew it wouldn't be.
Okay.
Not so fortunate.
But one of the reasons I wanted to visit with you at CC's is to give you the material for today.
Right. Uh-huh.
This was a kind of a email that we received from a friend of ours, but it was written by a Norm Fisher. I'm not sure I know Norm Fisher. Do you? Does that ring a bell of anybody?
No, it really doesn't.
Okay. But he basically is talking about that he wanted to respond to the ideas that America will never prosper if it doesn't turn back to God. And he kind of summarized, I'll just summarize it real quickly, is he feels that there are those Christians who believe that unless we get the Ten Commandments in courtrooms and schools and prayer back in schools, then God will no longer bless us. But he feels that God blesses us not because of our works, but because by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, he even goes so far, we do not need to worry about ourselves or our nation being judged or cursed for not following God's commands, because Scripture does not teach that God's blessing is a response to our actions. So, he really disagrees with the view that this nation needs to have Christian values, etc., before it's blessed, because God blesses us by grace through faith rather than by works. Now, I'll tell you right up front, I totally disagree with this gentleman, but it sounds like it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes. I mean, to most people, it sounds good. Yeah, we got to get right back on track religiously before we're really going to be a blessed nation. It makes sense to a lot of well-intentioned Christians.
I'm making the point, what he says makes sense, which is the very opposite. He disagrees with that.
Uh-huh, right.
And he says we're not saved by works, we're saved by grace through faith.
No.
So does his point make sense?
No.
Okay, why?
Because I'm talking from a worldly point of view. For the sake of argument, Tom, I'm saying from a worldly point of view, it doesn't make sense that if a nation is immoral, it will not prosper.
Well, how about from God's point of view?
From God's point of view, well, God was willing to save Sodom and Gomorrah for the sake of 10 righteous people. That's the way God sees it.
Well,
he will spare a nation for just 10 righteous people.
Didn't he kind of know there weren't 10 there, so it wasn't much of a bet?
That's beside the point.
Well, no, it's not, because of his omniscience. The fact is, he didn't spare them.
He did not.
And can't you say that was due to their evil life?
Oh, yes, yes.
So, isn't this gentleman wrong, then, that God does curse a nation for its evil life?
Yeah, but how about his elect within that nation? Doesn't he spare nations for the sake of his elect?
It seems to me that when the earthquake came at the golden calf, both the elect as well as the unbelievers suffered.
Agree.
They both were swallowed by the earthquake. So I don't think he does spare any more than the opposite is true, is it? That it rains on the fields of the evil
as well as the good.
Yeah. So the blessings go to both. I even read the thing, and you know, when you first read this, you think, well, maybe the guy's got a point, that if you say that God is going to bless or curse you on the basis of works, that would be wrong.
Right.
But I would attack somebody like the purpose-driven life gentleman who believes the reason you're not getting blessed is you're not obedient enough.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's where I would bring that in, saying that, no, it's not on the basis of your good works you get blessed, but it's on the basis of God's grace. Now, see, that's where I would use that argument. But the fact of the matter is, was not Israel taken into Babylonian captivity because of their evil works?
No, actually for their preservation. They would have imploded as a nation. Had they not been taken into captivity, they would have imploded.
But
and God was concerned about the promise.
Being imploded means that they would have been under the curse.
Right, okay.
So God does implode nations. I can see your point that in specifically Israel, he wasn't imploding them because he had a promise. But he didn't do that with Sodom and Gomorrah.
No.
And in fact, how about the Canaanites?
Yeah,
we're taking a look at the Sunday school lesson for this Sunday. I'll be on Issues, Etc. in 2 hours exactly, almost, doing the Sunday school lesson about King Saul. He started off really good.
Yes, he did.
He was a humble man and all this. But one of the first mistakes he made, I almost laugh when I hear this.
The Amalekites.
Yes. Explain that. He was told what?
Well, he was told not to take any plunder. No plunder.
Yes.
And, of course, when Samuel confronted him, there was the bleating of the flocks behind
yeah,
him.
Excellent.
And he couldn't really deny it. Well, who are these? What's this? What are these flocks doing here? He says, oh, those.
But do you remember what he said? I mean, this is...
Let's see. I'm trying to think how he explained himself.
He really did a good job that if God wasn't omniscient, he would have bought it. He said, well, it was really the people, not me, who took the best of the flocks to bring them back to sacrifice to your God,
yes,
Samuel.
Right. Trying to turn it around.
Yeah. And so...
But Samuel didn't buy it.
No. Well, God didn't buy it.
God didn't buy it.
Yeah. God... In fact...
God... Samuel was God's spokesman, of course.
Exactly. This is, you know, there's a passage after the Babylonian captivity also where it talks about that God doesn't desire the sacrifice of animals. What does he desire instead?
Oh, yeah, the cattle on a thousand hills are mine. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. That's what he wants.
Exactly, exactly. But listen what God says. When I saw that the people were scattered from me, let's see, no, where is that point? Saws. Oh, that was Saul's unlawful sacrifice. I'm reading the wrong section. Okay. What God says that he does not desire the sacrifice of animals when he says to do a command. You're not going to offset God's obedience to commands by disobeying the command under the pretense that you're offering a sacrifice to God. I mean, that's just manipulation of God, and God sees through that. So I think that's really, really kind of a critical thing here, that God desires not sacrifice, but obedience, which brings me back to the point. Why, then, can we not say that God curses a nation because of disobedience? For example, do you think that God is going to bless us when four of our states just okayed homosexual marriage? And when one of the key...
Yeah, one of them is my home state of Maine. I was born there.
Oh, you were?
I'm really disgusted, yes.
Oh,
yeah.
My.
We've only got... I think we've only got two or three congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod up in Maine.
Well, what I did hear on another program is, as you well know... if you look at red and blue states, you know, in the center of the country, they're all one color, and then on the fringes, they're different colors. Unfortunately, it's on the fringes where a lot of people live, but they're much more liberal. And what I was listening to, I think it was on Issues, etc., they were making the point, it really didn't matter if it occurred in those other states because it would have been voted down. These were four states that already wanted it, and the people there are really quite liberal. But does God bless a country when it kills babies in the womb and when illegally and when it does gay marriage? Do you think God's going to bless a
well,
country?
Well, I tell you, no, I think it's a real problem. I mean, we are. It just shows how wicked we have become.
But then how do you deal with this article? Because, see, he makes two points. And both of them are absolutely correct, but he's doing a logical jump. And let me, first of all, explain the two points. The first one is nobody gets blessed because you're so good.
That's right.
You're blessed by grace. Okay,
I agree.
That's the first thing. Second of all, the other point he makes, which I think is really good too, is you can't look at your experience and decide how God is reacting towards you. Because look at Jesus at the cross.
That's right. You can't judge on the basis of what you're going through. Because look how the Apostle Paul and others went through such terrible times, and even though they were faithful servants of God.
Yes. So, on the one hand, we agree with him that we're saved by grace through faith, not on account of our works. But I want to read this sentence again, because I think... this is the key sentence. We do not need to worry about ourselves or our nation being judged or cursed for not following God's commands, because Scripture does not teach that God's blessing is a response to our actions. I absolutely agree with that. But he misses why God does curse a nation. It's not because of disobedience.
Because of disbelief.
Yes. Well said, Mark. And he doesn't say anything about that anywhere. Yeah, it is true that works don't get you to heaven and they don't keep you out of heaven. But faith and unbelief.
And disbelief is shown in immoral lifestyle.
Absolutely. It's not, for example, last Sunday we were talking about abortion and excommunication. Would you excommunicate a woman without abortion? I said, I certainly would, if she was unrepentant.
Right.
The other thing is, a lot of women, you know, are forced almost into abortion with the pressure and this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to make a judgment on their heart at that point. You know, that's between them and God. But if we counsel with them and they are repentant of what they did, then there's no excommunication there.
Where sin did abound, God's grace did much more abound.
Right. But the vast majority of voters who voted on the abortion issue, you know, did vote because they were afraid that abortion is going to be made illegal. So they're not repenting of that at all.
No.
But the point, and I made this point on Monday, God never commends anyone for a good work, primarily. He always commends them for the faith behind the work. And God never criticizes anybody for sin.
He criticizes them for the unbelief.
Very good. So if you can do sin and still believe, you'll be blessed. Now that sounds strange, but there are many people who don't realize that they're sinning. And so therefore, if there's not a recognition that I'm a sinner in that particular situation, and the rest of their life is one of repentance. Remember, we do say, forgive us our trespasses. So the Christian's prayer there takes care of all those sins. Even the category I'm talking about is sins of ignorance. You know, we have that category.
Sure.
And in that case, for example, I was a interim pastor, which means they didn't have a pastor, and they asked me to take over until they called one. And one of the situations I dealt with were two young people living together before marriage.
Oh, boy, yeah.
So I call them into the office.
Oh, boy.
And they did not know that what they were doing was against God's
law. That's right. You run into them sometimes.
I couldn't believe it.
They're just ignorant of that. And yeah, you're right.
Where have you been born?
Yeah. They just don't realize. They see what's on TV and everybody else is doing it. And they're just plain ignorant. There are couples like that.
Yeah. What show was I watching where the son came in with his girlfriend and looked at the parents and said, we've decided we're going to live together now. And the parents kind of rolled their eyes, but that was it. They didn't say, no, that's not right or anything like that. And so that's where you get this idea.
Yeah.
That,
and we've been soft on that. Let's face it.
Absolutely.
Parents and pastors have been soft on that issue.
So I went with them through the Bible, showing that he was treating her, I said, as a prostitute.
Right.
And she had no protection at all, in the sense if they had a baby, she had no inheritance rights or anything. I said, that's not love. By the time I was done, she looked at me and she said, you mean...
What do I want to marry this guy for?
No. She said, you mean if I go home and live now with my parents and we don't do any more dallying around until we're married, that's okay? And I said, yes, that's what God wants. And that's what they decided. They split up. And she lived with her mother until the marriage. The marriage was only 3 months down the line.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can get them to agree with that.
Yeah.
But often the problem, you know what the problem often is in a case like that, though?
Right.
They don't want to admit that they're wrong.
Oh, yeah.
They don't want to admit that their love for each other is wrong in any way, see?
But see, when you really love someone, you're willing to give up your own desires. And they can't make that distinction.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But God's law can really put them in their place. That's why you do the law first, to accuse them of falling short. So, unfortunately, here's what he was hearing. And I can understand why he wrote the way he did. He got the idea that there are some Christians say that God will not bless us. And here's the two examples he gives. Until they put the Ten Commandments back into our courtrooms and prayer back in schools. You know, frankly, I'm opposed to both of those.
Well, you don't want prayer to just to just be to anyone. You know, you don't want prayer to be any any god, a false god.
I believe it was Everett Dirksen who wrote prayers for public schools. None of them were addressed to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You could have put Allah there or whoever you wanted. They were just general things. That's why I'm opposed to prayers in public schools, because I don't think it is the right of the church to force Christianity on anybody. I think you should be allowed to speak about it in schools.
A moment of silence.
Or to talk
to prayer
at lunchtime or anything about your faith.
Right.
But to force somebody to pray.
Now, you don't see any validity in having the Ten Commandments posted in schools.
No, because they're not for the government. They're for the church.
Mm-hmm.
For example, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Those have nothing to do with the government.
Mm-hmm.
That's a church thing. You see, the Ten Commandments always include the first table of the law. They also include the second table where they don't go against the laws of the land when you break them, like coveting. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Police come over and they arrest you. Why? We saw you looking at your next door neighbor. And you.
Well, you know, it's funny. The government talks about hate crime now as if they can try to manage the heart.
No, hate crime is done on the basis of evidence that you did an evil action because you hated
because
the
of
person.
Race.
Yes,
or gender.
If they can't find that, then it can't be a hate crime. So just because you rob a store and shoot, say, three people from Canada doesn't mean you hate Canadians. It just so happens they were Canadians who owned the store. You know, it doesn't make it a hate crime. So a hate crime is never taken to court because of your heart. It's always taken because of an action, but they have to have evidence that the motivation to do that is because, say, they were Jewish or they were black or they were white or whatever. Yeah. So now the problem is, it's going to be kind of interesting. We pastors, as we continue to speak out against abortion and homosexual marriage, there are some who are trying to make that a hate crime.
Oh, yes.
Now that's going to be kind of interesting. They're able to do that in Canada because Canada doesn't have a law that we have in the United States, which is called free speech. If you're allowed to do free speech, then you can say that homosexual activity is an abomination before Almighty God. In Canada, you will go to jail for saying that. For saying that. In the United States, you can't. You have to do some evil action on the basis of that. So I don't think we'll ever have hate speech here that I'm aware of where you can be put in jail because of hate speech. You can end up being fired from your job if your employee doesn't like it and the employee's not, you know, a federal employee or something like that, where you can get fired for those things. So that's why I tell you, do you ever put anything on Twitter?
I wonder, I wonder about our military chaplains, if they have all the freedom to speak their convictions, like against homosexuality for something like that.
Yeah, at this point, they still are and can be counseling men who are homosexuals and bring them back to be natural or normal. But in California, the governor just passed a law that says it's illegal to talk about having counseling to straighten out homosexuals.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Well, I would put up on my church sign immediately, we have counseling to make homosexuals normal. See what he's going to do about it. Nothing. We have free speech in this country, and especially religion. We can say what we want. And if he feels that that's wrong, well, you know, so be it. But we live in Missouri, and we don't have anything like that going on here. Do you feel? We're real free to say.
Right, I would say so, too.
Just about anything we want to say. So, whoever this Norm Fisher is, he's correct that nobody better look to their works as a way of getting to heaven. And also, God doesn't just curse you because of sin, because that means you and I would be cursed every day, Mark.
Oh, absolutely.
It's the unbelief, and he totally misses the point. I mean, nowhere does he talk about unbelief. And when you have a country that's going with gay marriage and abortion the way it is, it's on the basis of unbelief, and God will not bless that country. I don't think we have to mince words with that at all, for sure. Any last words you want to say on this?
No, I think you've said it all, Tom.
No, I think we've said it all, Mark. So, yeah, that's why both of us agree prayer in schools, this isn't making it a Christian nation. There's only one Christian nation in this country, and what's that?
The church.
That's right.
The Holy Christian Church.
The Holy Christian Church. There is no other Christian nation, and the government is not supposed to even be involved in church things. Okay. What's Sunday, your schedule?
Sunday at 9 a.m., we have a service out at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church out in Crestwood, just south of the Watson and New Sappington Road intersection. We also have a service Saturday evening at 5 p.m., 8646 New Sappington Road, Saturday 5 p.m., Sunday at 9.
And your Bible class?
Bible class is on the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. We're gonna get to the closing chapters of the book of Acts this Sunday.
And tomorrow we're going to do Insight Wednesday. Tune in to hear what that insight is. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.